Being into Christmas season is Happy Birthday, Jesus. This week we celebrated Christmas and gave and received gifts, many gifts. We enjoyed giving and receiving. But it was Jesus' birthday that we celebrated. What gifts did we bring him? I read a Christmas card that said, "It's funny how it's his birthday, yet we receive so many gifts from him. That's just the kind of God he is, and that's how blessed we truly are." Well, I always say, worship him. Worship him. We receive so much from the Lord, but what do we give him for his birthday? That's the point this morning. What do we give him for his birthday? This morning I would like to briefly speak about what gifts we could give to Jesus. Now we just said that it's funny how it's his birthday, yet we receive so many gifts from him. Did you ever go to a birthday party and the person who is celebrating is giving gifts to you instead? It's always that you give gifts to the person who you're celebrating. But God is so great and so wonderful and such a big heart, he's given to us. But this morning is, what did we give to him for his birthday? Wondering if you could turn with me to Exodus chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 21 and verses 1 to 6. "Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes in alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man,' then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently." As we read, the servant could have gone free after 6 years. A Hebrew could not be in perpetual bondage. An Israelite who sold himself into service or as a hired worker was to be released in the year of Jubilee, which occurred every 50 years. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 to 55. But the Hebrew servant had to make a decision. After 6 years, the Hebrew servant had to make a decision whether or not to stay with his master. It is possible that the servant stayed with his master so that he would not have to lose his wife and children. Other times the servant remained with his master because a good relationship developed between the servant and the master, and the servant loved the master. How much more we should love our master, Jesus, who calls us not servants or slaves, but friends. Wow, friends of Jesus. And our master suffered and died for his friends, actually while we were yet enemies in sin. And Jesus still died for us, as we said before, infinite love. Our master wants to take us to an unimaginable place called heaven, where we will live forever with him. Once the servant made a commitment to his master, his ear was pierced. We need to come to a point in time in our Christian walk when we commit or recommit and are totally serious about our commitment to the Lord. Have we come to really know our Master Jesus, to love Him with all our heart, and to be totally committed to Him, and to be determined that we will never leave Him? When we accepted the Lord into our lives, we said that we would serve Him all the days of our life, right? You were baptized in water. You said you would serve Him all the days of your life. But are we genuinely committed to Jesus that we will serve Him in every way in all the days of our lives? Are we serving the Lord the way we should, or the way He deserves to be served? Ear-piercing meant that the servant could not be bought by another master. And when the person is genuinely committed and dedicated to Christ, he will not want any other master. If we are genuinely and seriously committed to serving Jesus, we will not want any part of serving anything in this world any longer. Our attention, our focus, our love will be on Jesus. We will not be so distracted by worldly, temporal things. The second verse of the hymn, All for Jesus, states, Let my hands perform His bidding. Let my feet run in His ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth His praise. In other words, you are dedicated. You're committed to Jesus. Your ear has been pierced, which means you belong to Jesus. Now, when the ear was pierced, that servant belonged to the master. That's what the ear piercing meant. It's possible there's even a tag on the ear. So we want our ear pierced in the spiritual sense. We belong to Jesus, and we're never going to leave Him. We will be dedicated to Him. The third verse of that same hymn, All for Jesus, states, Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus, I've lost sight of all beside. So enchained my spirit's vision, looking at the crucified. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, brings out another aspect of being committed and dedicated to Jesus. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, in other words, you've accepted Him in your life, keep seeking those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If your life is hid with Christ in God, that means you will not have any other master. Jesus is your master forever. We are committing not to an earthly Lord, but to the one and only sovereign Lord. If we are going to be committed to anyone, it doesn't get any better than a serious and total commitment to Jesus. And you know what? Serving Jesus isn't slavery. He said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. It is a willing commitment to Him, the best commitment you could ever make. Do we want to give Jesus the gift of commitment? We said, want to give gifts to Jesus for His birthday. Do you want to give the gift of commitment to Jesus? How about a serious walk with Jesus? Do we want to give Jesus the gift of a more serious walk with Him? How determined are we to have a more serious commitment to Him? Luke chapter 13, verse 24 states, Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So if you are seriously committed to the Lord, you're going to strive to enter in and beyond that narrow path. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, circumspectly means heeding the consequences, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I mean, if Paul said back then, maybe, I don't know, 60 AD, whatever time it was, around then, the days of evil, what would he say today about the days? And he said, how much more we have to redeem the time. Redeem the time and just serving the Lord seriously, knowing that he's coming soon. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Serious about your salvation. In our walk with the Lord, we cannot be neutral. We cannot have one foot in the ways of the Lord and one foot in the world. It doesn't work. Either we are serving the Lord or we are not. There is no in between. How serious is your commitment to the Lord? If you really love Jesus, you will be very serious about your commitment to him. In our walk with the Lord, we cannot rest on past experiences or past blessings. We need to seriously move forward with Jesus. Now, if you stand still in the ways of the Lord, you're just satisfied where you're at. You're going to fall behind because everybody else is moving forward in the ways of the Lord. So you have to keep moving forward. I have to keep moving forward. We may have given our lives to the Lord many years ago, but looking back, how much of our lives did we really give to him? I think Jesus deserves all of our lives. He created us. He bought us with his blood. He deserves all of us. He certainly does. How serious is our walk with Jesus? Are we going to give just a part or only half of our heart, our lives to the Lord? Or are we going to give all of ourselves to him? Is Jesus really Lord of our lives? Someone may be thinking, why do I ask that question? Well, because how much of our lives have we seriously given to Jesus? This morning we want to make a decision to give our absolute, all of our lives, best to the Lord and to be totally serious about our commitment and our dedication to him. And then there is the gift of love. This is a good one. The gift of love. You can give all of them to Jesus. How many times do you go to someone's birthday and you give them more than one gift? Most likely you do. I know what happened with me all my life. So we could give a bunch of gifts to Jesus. But there is the gift of love. This is a good one. If you could turn with me to John chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. John chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Give you a moment to get there. John chapter 12 and verses 1 to 8. I'll be reading this in the King James Version because it's brought out really nice there. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. A dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Do we honor Jesus and how we live our lives? When Mary would spend time with the Lord, he probably told her about how he was going to die, because she saved her money to buy a very costly ointment so that she could anoint Jesus. This ointment was placed in an alabaster jar. Alabaster, or oriental alabaster, in those days referred to marble. The ointment was placed in carefully sealed alabaster marble jars in order to preserve the perfume. That's how costly it was. Spikenard, very briefly, was an intensely fragrant amber-colored ointment. Intensely fragrant. I know when I read this, it's not even on my notes, but how intense is our worship to the Lord? Is our worship a fragrance? If you imagine our worship to the Lord as a fragrance to him, how intense is our worship to him? You want it to be an intense fragrance. You want your worship to be an intense fragrance to Jesus. Spikenard was very costly because it had to be imported from India, another reason for the great cost. It had to be imported from India in special, carefully sealed alabaster jars to conserve the perfume. Now, it was considered a luxury, spikenard, which is very costly, was considered a luxury in ancient Egypt, the Near East, and even Rome. This is beautiful, I'm going to say now. It always really touches me. Spikenard was used only when a wealthy person received a special guest into his or her house. The wealthy homeowner would then break open the seal of the jar to do the anointing. Jesus, listen close, Jesus was Mary's special guest. She knew how to set her priorities. This anointing was an expression of how much Jesus meant to her. How much does Jesus mean to her, to you, this morning? If he was here in the physical sense, would you go out and buy something very costly, like spikenard, to anoint him? If he was here in the physical sense, in this church, is here spiritually, if he was here in the physical sense, would you come in with spikenard to anoint him? What does he mean to you this morning? He's here in the spiritual sense, I can guarantee you that. I hope you feel it too. How could you anoint him? You could anoint him with your worship. I can't emphasize this enough. Remember that the spikenard was very fragrant. So you want to anoint Jesus with a very fragrant, very intense worship. That's why I say, you know, when we have worship, and this isn't in my notes. When we have worship, I always say, let's worship him. Worship him with all your heart. Every song. Even if maybe you're not crazy about the song, worship him. Give it to Jesus with all your heart. Now, somewhere else in the Bible, Psalm 134, verse 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So I encourage you, I can't make you do it. It's not my job. It's got to come from your heart. Can't force you to do anything. So I suggest, lift up your hands and worship him. I know my mother would tell me, Mrs. Johnson, I can't lift up my hands too hard, my arms just won't do it. But she did a little bit that she could. She would raise her hands. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The New Testament says, lift up holy hands to the Lord. Give him an intense worship. Are we in awe of him this morning as we sang as well. Are we in awe of Jesus as we sang this morning? We should be in awe of him. How much does he mean to us this morning? Let's anoint him with our worship. Anoint him with your love. Anoint him with a serious commitment to him. Anoint him with your life. He gave everything to us. Anoint him with everything. Anoint him with all of yourself. The best you could give, your service, how you live your life, anoint him. Is Jesus as special to us as he was to Mary? Good question. Do we want to anoint Jesus with heartfelt worship? Do we want to anoint him with a serious commitment to him? Do we want to anoint him with all our love? Mary saved her money so that she could afford this special ointment for Jesus. She probably refused to buy things for herself that she could have had, so that she could have enough money for this spikenard. Mary's priorities were not in the cares of this world. Jesus was her top priority. And when she saw Jesus, the cares of this world diminished because her priority, her focus was Jesus. And everything else became set aside. You know the song we sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim." If you're focused on Jesus, really focused on him, the things of this world will become dim. He'll become your priority, depending on how intense your eyes are set on him. Jesus was Mary's top priority. We need to ask ourselves this morning if Jesus is the number one priority in our lives. Or do adjustments have to be made in order to make room or more room for Jesus and to give him the proper priority in life, which is obviously first place? You may say, I give the Lord room in my life. But are you giving him enough room in your life? The room that he should get and deserve in life. The room that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords should get. We call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do we treat him that way? If the person doesn't give the Lord the proper priority in life, he or she doesn't know him well enough. Verse 3 states that she bought pure nard, pure spikenard. It was very costly. Verse 5 informs us that it cost 300 denarii, or a year's wage for the ordinary worker. A year's wage, of course. She bought only the best for Jesus. The best. Are we giving Jesus the best in our lives? He gave his best for us. He gave everything he could. What more could he give than his life and how he died for us? She bought him the best because Jesus was her priority in life and she had a deep, great love for him. She knew him and what he meant in her life. Are we giving our best to Jesus? Maybe we should ask ourselves this morning, how much do we love him? How well do we really know him? What Jesus is saying is really true. To know him is to love him. How well do we know him this morning? There's a song titled, "What Shall I Give Thee, Master?" It's probably up there on the screen. The first verse says, it's written in King James, Old English, "What shall I give thee, Master? Thou who did die for me, shall I give less of what I possess, or shall I give all to thee? What shall I give thee, Master? Thou hast redeemed my soul. My gift is small, but it is my all, surrendered to thy control. What shall I give thee, Master? Giver of gifts divine. I will not hold time, talents, or gold, for everything shall be thine. And the chorus goes on to say, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, thou hast given all for me. Thou didst leave thy home above to die on Calvary. What shall I give thee, Master? Thou hast given all for me. Not just a part or half of my heart. I will give all to thee. Another song states, give of the best to your Master. What gift or gifts are we going to give Jesus for his birthday?